All right, today we're going to learn from the Bible how to be wise with your money, part one and part two, okay? Today we're going to be looking at the tithe specifically. So hopefully God will help us to understand a lot more about how we can use our money wisely. Let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we'll dive in. If you have any questions in between, please stop me. Okay, please stop me, because I think it's important, because money is a very important part of our lives. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the brethren that's come in. Lord, may you come in with needs, may you come in with certain things on our hearts, but we thank you that your grace is always, always present for us and always ready, Lord, to meet our needs at where we are. We pray, for Holy Spirit, that you would help every one of us to understand this lesson, knowing that you are there to teach us how we need to live our lives according to your will. We thank you for what you're going to do. We pray for our brethren who are still on their way. Bring them quickly. And thank you. Teach us from your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. These are your memory verses. If you can just take it down, we'll be going through that a little bit also. This is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Malachi 3:10. Luke 6:38. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Okay, let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. I'll just give you all these things first. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. After this, we'll talk a lot more, but I'll just give you one of the passages that oftentimes are used by many people, especially pastors, and for the longest time. Okay, I've never really touched on this because I believe otherwise, but the Lord is opening my heart to what He is teaching with regards to tithing. So I'm going to just share that. All right? So, the Bible actually says in 3 verse 10, we just look at verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meet in mine house, and prove me now herewith, here's the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Okay, this passage actually teach us that God was encouraging the Jewish people, look, learn to trust me. Bring the tithes, okay, after we talk about tithes later, bring the tithes into the storehouse, referring to the temple, and you will just see whether or not I'll bless you, okay? So this is the background, right? The tithe, the word tithe in the Hebrew means 10%, okay? A tenth, okay? So it is a way to honor the Lord with our giving. I was just trying to really understand this because in the past, I used to believe that the tithe belongs to the Old Testament. All right? It is. It does belong to the Old Testament. And New Testament saints don't have to worry about it. But I hope you will be able to get the idea from the scriptures at the end of this 40-minute lesson. Okay? Proverbs 3, verse 9, given by Solomon, he says, honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with thy substance. When you love someone, you will give the person something, right? Right? Usually, you will remember someone's birthday. You will. Sometimes people say, "Do I need a reason to give you a present?" You know, and something that you give because you love. And usually, you take it out of your own thing, your own pocket. So the Bible says, "Well, you do this to people. Just do this to God. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Okay. And Solomon was teaching his child. This instruction was given to the children. This instruction was given to his children. Learn to honor God with what you have. Learn to honor God with what you have. Okay? After we'll explain a little bit more. Okay? Let's turn to two passages. Let's turn to Genesis 14. Okay? We want to look at five things regarding the tithe in the Old Testament. And how is it applicable to us? Genesis. Okay, Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. All right. Very familiar passage, I think, to some. Verse 18, okay? Okay, let's read together. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. Ready? One, two, go. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Okay, he gave him tithes of all. Now, what happened was, after a fight, okay, the battle of five kings, all right, Abraham the kings actually kidnapped Lot, which was a cousin or nephew of Abraham. And Abraham got his 300 trained servants. Can you imagine 300 servants only? But they fought against the armies of five kings and managed to overcome them and brought Lot back. Okay, and after that victory celebration, Abraham actually took all the loot and all the all the spoils of the conquest. You know what I mean by spoils of the conquest? All right, that means I go, I conquer, and whatever you have, because I conquer you, I take in all the treasures and all that. And then after that, he was met by this Melchizedek, who is actually a representative of God. Okay, I'm not saying he's Christ. Apparently, he's a real person, King Melchizedek. Okay, King of Salem, the old name for Jerusalem. Okay, the old name of Jerusalem. Okay, and so King Melchizedek apparently is a priest, and he actually offered bread and wine, and he blessed Abraham. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And what did Abraham do in response? The Bible says he gave tithes of all. He gave tithes. The word tithes means a tenth, but he gave tithes. Why? He didn't even know this guy. But he gave tithes as a thanksgiving to God. Okay? So in this situation, whatever God has given to him as a result of conquest, he gave it back to God. Okay, that's in Genesis. That is Genesis. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 28 and verse 20 to 22. Now, I want you to put these two passages together, and then our Genesis 28, verse 18, verse 20 to 22. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee. Okay, so for Jacob at that point of time, this was his conversion experience. It was a time he met God and said, Lord, if that's truly you, whatever you give me, I will surely give a tenth back. And we have to actually be very clear, Jacob made the vow without anyone telling him. It was out of his own heart. He said, God, whatever you give me, Lord, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give it back to you. I'll give a tenth of that, all right, to you. Okay? The first point is tithing was practiced before the law of Moses. Now, why is that important? That's important because many people have equated tithing to be an Old Testament Mosaic practice. But the Bible makes it very clear that giving of 10% is actually even before the law of Moses. It was already practiced. Okay, so that's a very important principle for us to understand as New Testament believers. Okay, any questions? Okay, the next one. Tithing was practiced under the law. I want to go through three passages. Let's all turn to Numbers 18. Okay, stop me if you have any questions. Okay, the question is asked, how many percent did the Jew give? How many percent of their income did the Jews give? Now, I want you to understand a very important thing. We think in terms of money, they don't. Because they only have increased twice a year. Because they are an agricultural community. Make sense? Okay? They have to plant and they have to wait for it to grow. And when the things grow and they are able to harvest it, then they can give. Other than the rest of the year, they don't have anything. Or rather, they would actually keep some inside for themselves, some they sell for money for themselves. Okay? But really, their income is only twice a year. Okay? And so these passages actually help us understand, with this in mind, let's look at Numbers 18. Okay, Numbers 18, verse 21. I will read it, and I want you to follow along. Okay? And the Lord said unto Aaron, Aaron is the high priest of the children of Israel, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thy inheritance among the children of Israel. For the Christian, God is our portion and our inheritance. That's what it means here, okay? I mean, spiritually applying it. But God told Aaron, you know, the land of Canaan was divided into 12 parts, all right, for the different tribes. God told Levi, you will have no part of it because I am your inheritance, okay? Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi the whole tribe, or the tenth in Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay? So the Levite actually have no land to plant. So what did God do? God says, okay, you don't have to worry. I am going to tell the children of Israel to give a tenth so that the whole tribe of Levi can be supported. All right? Verse 22, neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. Okay? So the tabernacle is a hallowed place, a holy place to God. And God says, no one is supposed to come near the tabernacle except yourself, okay, the Levites. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, and verse 24 is an interesting one. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord. Now, what's a heave offering? A heave offering, as we're studying, is interesting. When the children of Israel actually get the harvest, the heave offering is the very first thing they must give. Okay? The heave offering is given as an offering of thanksgiving that God has provided for them. The heave offering is an offering of thanksgiving. All right? If you study the background, the heave offering is an offering of thanksgiving to God. That's 10%. So all the Jews are supposed to give when the crop comes out, so thank God for it, they've set aside 10% for God already. Okay? An offering of thanksgiving, of gratefulness for their provisions. And they recognize God is sovereign. Did you know that every farmer, when they plant, have no guarantee they will get a harvest? The only guarantee is God. And so they say, God, I've planted, you bless us. And when they see the blessing, they immediately, you see, we always teach this thing, don't just look at the gift, look at the giver. Right? Don't just think about the present, think about the person who gives the present. This is what every Christian needs to do. Don't just think about the few thousand dollars you have in your wallet every month. Think about that God give you health so that you can actually work. You know, God, it's very easy for God to just take away our health. Okay? So we must always have that. And so the children of Israel were taught, okay, here the heave offering is an offering of thanksgiving. Okay, so that's the first one. Nehemiah 10 is the other passage, okay, but we won't go there. Let's turn to the next one, Deuteronomy chapter 14. This is a second type of offering, which is interesting. They already asked to give the heave offering. When they asked to give a heave offering, it was an indication of they are very thankful to God. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 14, for those who are interested in what animals you can eat, what animals you cannot eat, Deuteronomy 14 tells you, okay? Now, the heave offering is an offering of thanksgiving. This is a second offering. Because this one is not a free will offering, it is a compulsory giving. Okay, Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, and the field bringeth forth year by year. Okay, notice year by year. Okay, so which means on top of the first 10% of the heave offering, which is given because you love God and are so thankful that God's in charge. All right, you know, even before we talk about the compulsory giving, we must already have a heart of gratefulness to God for everything He's given to us. Okay? But then God put in this second one to support the economy of Israel, okay, in general. But I just tell you this, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the year bringeth forth, year by year. Initially, I thought it was one of the same thing. But this one is a tithe. The first one was a heave offering. You see the difference? The heave offering is a giving of thanks, it's a tithe, all right, 10%. But then this is a compulsory 10% of all your increase, okay? And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name. Where is this place? Anyone? Where is this place? Where is this place? And thou shalt eat before the Lord in the place which shall place his name there. Where did God put his name in Israel? In Jerusalem. Specifically where? The physical location. The temple. The temple. Okay? And this is actually a mandatory giving whenever they go up to the temple. 10%. Okay? And notice year by year. That means every time they have an increase. And the important thing is at the end of it, what is God's, what's the purpose? Let me just read the whole thing slowly. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, temple of Jerusalem. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. The purpose of the mandatory giving is to help us to give God as a priority in our life. That you learn to fear God. That you actually learn to fear God. How many percent already? How many percent already? 20%. Now this is a juice, okay, the juice. People say, wow, Leo, finish, I have to. I'm going to give you the background first, okay? And then there's one more passage. Let's turn to Leviticus 19, verse 10. Leviticus 19, verse 10. So that's all about the harvest already. They already given the 10%. God gave another instruction to the children of Israel. Well, this is a very important one. This principle is transferred to the New Testament. After this, we'll talk about that. Verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of your field, neither thou shalt gather the gleanings of thy harvest. The gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy wine. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. The third tithe is to take care of the poor. Now, what's happened is this. Let's say you have a plot of land, okay, about this square. You can harvest all. God's instruction is to leave the corners. Leave the corners, okay? So that the poor people can go and collect something for themselves. Okay? So the last one is the Jewish farmers will remember, okay, maybe I have 10, 20 meters of land, let's say, 1 meter on both sides, on every part I won't touch, but the rest I'll take. So those corner ones will all be given to the poor. The poor will come in. Which Bible story, anyone remember that this is done? There's one particular person in the Bible who picked up the gleanings. Who? Ruth, okay? The book of Ruth talk about she picking up the gleanings, all right? And so you see, God actually took care of the economy of Israel. Remember, so all together, okay, the way they did it was they leave it as that. So the actual Jew actually tithes 20% of all their increase, okay? All right? And the reason is for Thanksgiving. You see, God has a spiritual principle for giving. Gratefulness, learning to fear God. How many percent, I'm going to put it in perspective, after God says you give the 20%, how many percent do we have to live on? Huh? After the 20%, how many percent do you have to live on? Do you have to live on? 80%. Is that enough? And this is something that we have to really, really ask God for wisdom, okay? Because some people, I was sharing with one couple one time about tithing and giving, and say, and they very honest. What, Pastor? What if we don't have enough? What if we don't have enough? This couple have not learned to give to God and all that kind of thing. What if we don't have enough? But then I say, well, you have to actually put God first in the priorities of your giving, and you'll find that you always have enough. You'll always have enough. Okay? I guarantee you, you will always have enough. Why? In the last, for myself as pastor, I don't always get a lot. But God has never shortchanged us. We always have enough. God gives through people, God gives through different means, God gives through people overseas just to support the work and support us. Okay? I want to encourage you that God will provide. God will provide. Okay, but we need to go by His principles. Okay, the next one. Any questions so far? Okay, the next one. I think we'll practice under the law. The continuation of this. Malachi chapter 3, verse, we'll start with 7 just now I read. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. In verse 7, God says, even from the days of your fathers, okay, the prophet Malachi, God through prophet Malachi was telling the children of Israel, from the days of your fathers, you guys have moved away from my teaching, my ordinances, my practices. Okay, why don't you come back to me and I will return to you? And then this people actually said, return. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Why do we have to return? I mean, we have always been with you. What? And then God gave this charge, meaning that God highlighted the problem in Israel. Will a man rob God? Will you dare to rob God? Will you dare to rob God? No. Yet ye have robbed me. But he said, when have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. In your tithes and offerings. That means to say, in the Jewish culture, what they've done is, over the years, they were very faithful in the time of Moses and all that. Over the years, they begin to change. Maybe the stresses of life, or maybe sometimes they see, well, other people have so much, I also want. And so in the harvest, when God gave them, they begin to cut their giving to God. They begin to cut their giving to God so that they can spend on other things which they themselves want or other things they think they need. And after a while, they stop putting God first. Okay? And so God actually said, hey, you guys have robbed me. You guys have taken away what rightfully belongs to me. Okay? And this is hard teaching from the Bible, but this is what God says. You have robbed me. You know what? It's not just in tithes and offerings. In application, it could be your time, it could be your energy, it could be your the way you live your life. Okay? Okay? So the first thing, we need to keep what rightfully belongs to God. Now we need to give what rightfully belongs to God. Okay? So this is the Old Testament teaching. You guys, and so, but God says, blessing is given to those who tithe. Look at verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. You know what that means? God says, you test me. If you are willing to sacrifice, I will give you a blessing so great that you don't even have place to handle it. Now, immediately people think, oh, okay, God's going to give me millions of dollars if I give. No, that's not what God means. God says that you bless me. Oh, sorry, you take care of what I told you and I'll take care of you. In fact, over and above, when I went to, I said this before, I was 100 Islands in the Philippines. They were actually having first fruits service. And so I was invited with my family. Joanna was just two or three. Jeremiah was just, you know, six or something. And so I would get out at 3 a.m., you know, drive for 4 hours to and to take the ferry. We almost fell into the water. Okay. And we went there. And this island has no transportation. There's no jeepney, there's no whatever. We walked for 20 minutes from the ferry to the church. But when we went there, after I was, they went to the church, that's strange. They had this big bunch of bananas at the side. There are about maybe 4 or 5 50-kilogram packets of rice at the side. And then, of course, all the other fruits or whatever. Then I was asking someone, hey, what is that? Oh, there is the first fruits of their, you know, they believe, they are practicing this. You know, when they have the harvest, they give. And then what? The pastor eat all the 50-kilogram rice. No. They will sell it. They will bring it to the mainland. They will sell it. And then the money that is received from the sale, they will use it to make improvements to the church or improvements for their ministry. Say, oh, that's interesting. And then the pastor say one thing. Say, those who don't want to tithe, you will not see them during the Thanksgiving service. So all the rights are for those from the farmers who are willing to give to God, but there are some farmers who just don't want to give to God, and so they don't turn up at the service, and you don't see their offerings as well. Okay, so that was kind of an interesting glimpse into. So God actually says, if you are willing to actually come and give to me, God will bless us. Okay, and brought to the storehouse. Where's the storehouse in the time of the Jews? It is the temple. Okay, so this is the Old Testament teaching. Okay, there's only one more passage. Just turn to Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. Take notes as you go along, okay? Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10. I think this is a very important principle. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, 10. Really, shall we read the two verses together? Ready? One, two, go. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Okay, what does the Bible say? You honor me with your substance and with the first fruits, and so shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. You know, God is telling children of Israel, you learn to trust me, I'll make sure your harvest will burst your barns. Now, this is a good deal, isn't it? But you know what? Can I say this? The first fruits is like this. When they first see the harvest coming up, and it is not the collection of everything else first. Once they see the harvest coming up and is almost ripe, they actually take the first portion, not for themselves, they give it to God first. They will give it to God first. That's the very first part of their collection, they give it to God first. It may be the thought in the I learned this before, I shared before, that for the Filipinos, once they get a job, their first month's salary they give to the Lord. It might be that kind of thinking, which is okay, but of course, I'm sure after that they'll keep on giving. But here the Bible says, if you give to God, God says that He will actually bless you. Okay? We haven't applied to the modern day Christian yet, but I'm going to give you the understanding of the background first. But let me look at the honor the Lord with thy substance. In other words, put God first with what you have. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. And there's a question that comes. Pastor, I'm a student. I don't earn. I don't earn, so how? That means I don't have increase. But usually I say, do you have pocket money? I suppose children from the beginning, not supposed to. I believe the children from young, that's why we even have offerings in our Sunday school, is to teach the children to give when they are young. Okay? And parents, just read from here, parents ought to teach their children to tithe. Okay? Your context of this passage is Solomon teaching his son, you need to honor the Lord with what you have. But if you don't have increase, you need to ask God for wisdom. God, I still want to support your work. I want to honor you. But God, I don't have increase. So give me wisdom how. And God will. Okay? Once we honor the Lord with the first, with whatever substance you have. You know? Okay? So this specifically talks about we need to honor God. So in the Old Testament, they are already taught to honor God with giving. Okay? Next one is some New Testament passages on giving. Okay? And from there, let's look at the New Testament. And interestingly, there are not many passages on tithing in the New Testament, but a lot on giving. Okay? Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Okay, let's read together. This is a promise from God. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given to you. Give, and it shall be given to you. And that's a Bible principle. If you're willing to give something to someone, someone will give it back. You give to God, God will return. God doesn't owe anyone anything. In fact, can I say this? I heard one pastor say one thing. God, we give to God, not because God needs our giving. We give to God, not because God needs our giving. Is we give because we need God's blessings. Does it make sense? Because I can tell you, yeah, we can work and we can gather our riches, but life and death is in His hands. And you cannot control everything around. And the fact that God can bless us, it means that God in His wisdom has allowed that to happen, and we need to recognize that. And as we give, what we're doing is, God, I recognize and I revere and I fear you because you are my God. I love you. I know you are overall in charge of my life. I'm just obeying you by giving whatever I have to give to you. Okay? And so, this is the beginning part. As you give, God says He'll give to you. But you know, notice that it will be given to you. Whatever you give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down. That means people keep giving, and in order to contain, you keep pressing it down so that more can come in. All right? Running over shall men give unto the bosom, and Jesus gave a principle of giving for whatsoever, for with the same measure that you give, it will be given back in the same measure. In other words, you give $10, your God will give you $10 blessings. That's why it says, for with the same measure you give, God will give you the same. Because the Bible says you sow, you reap what you sow. You don't give. You don't give $1 and expect. I'm not, okay, I need to put it in perspective. What people say, well, Pastor wants to give a lot. You need to give because God has touched your heart to give. And some people may not have enough. I'll show you from the Bible. But the Bible says, the amount you give, the same will be measured back. Or rather, the how you calculate the giving, it may not even be the number. You know? It may not even, a billionaire can give $1 million, right? That's not God's point. The billionaire may think, oh, this church don't need so much, I'll just give $1 million. Oh, I'm the... God's not going to respect that. Agree? But if a person who have only $10 said, God, I'm just going to give you $55 and I'm going to show that I love you. God will respect the $5 more than the $1 million. Because in God's sight, the amount you give doesn't matter. Well, it does matter if you contradict some of the principles God has given. But the main thing is this, God is not just looking at what you give, it's why you give it. How you give it. Okay? Because the Bible says, with what measure? How did you measure your giving? What is the thinking process? In America, one of the, when a collection offering, and it's very interesting, it says, when the offering plates, when offering bags are collected and they count, you know what they find? They find dollar notes, they find coins, they find pencils, they find paper clip, they find car keys, they find, you know why? People during the offering are just going to grab whatever and put it inside the offering bag. You know what? If we give to God in a haphazard way, God can bless us. Okay? So I want to encourage us to recognize, okay, that we need to learn to give liberally. Okay? Give liberally. After we'll, there are other passages to help us to kind of measure this. Okay? Give liberally. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Because with what measure you give, the same measure will measure back to you. And I believe one of the reasons why not many Christians are very, 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 very rich, because God can't trust us with the money. Because we just spend it on ourselves. But we need to learn to give to God. All right? The next one, next passage. Let's look at Luke 21. Now, this is going to challenge all of us. Luke 21. Okay, there's some very, very good spiritual principles here. The Bible says in verse 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to see many rich people. Now, what happens in the treasury last time, the offering? Apparently, there's actually 12 collection boxes for different things. And so people will come and they will drop. Apparently, they are metal boxes. So when you drop the amount of money, they go clang, 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 everything down. Okay, the denaries are coins or silver coins. They drop it in. Okay, and the Lord Jesus Christ, interesting, huh? The Lord Jesus Christ was actually sitting there and watching people give. What's the spiritual lesson we can learn from there? When you put the amount and what you put or whether you give in the offering, the Lord Jesus is there sitting at the side watching. Anyway, he watches everything. He's our master, he's our Lord, he's our Savior, he sees. But here the Bible actually says, Jesus, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. So there were many rich people who cast in a lot, and then there was a widow who only cast in 2 mites. Okay? And then Jesus said, of a truth, I tell you, really, this is true. I say unto you that this poor widow with no support had cast in more than all of them. Say, what? 2 mites? 2 mites in Singapore context is only a few cents. Maybe 10, 20 cents. Okay? Those rich men may pour in thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of dollars. Jesus said, those guys haven't given more than this widow. This widow has given more than all those guys. Why? Of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. Why? And Jesus gave the reason, verse 4, for all this have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. In other words, when they give $1 million, they still have $10 billion. In other words, they still have lots to live on. But this widow, of her penury, what's the meaning of penury, anyone? You need to study the Bible. This one really will help us understand. What's the meaning of penury? Have you studied the word before? What's penury? Extreme poverty. She has given when she has nothing left. The Bible says she of her extreme poverty have cast in everything she had to survive. Now, when you look at that in context, some people think, well, Pastor, that doesn't mean I didn't give everything I have. I'm not saying that. Jesus was using this widow. You know, some people actually give so sacrificially. You know, in the New Testament, they sell their houses. Did God ask us to sell our houses? No. There are two things. Spiritual principle is this. We need to love God so much that we must be in our heart willing to give up everything for Him. Okay? We must be willing to give up everything for Him. That's a spiritual principle. But then God also recognizes we have to live in this world. And therefore, He gives us Bible principles how we live. We'll deal with it next week. Okay? But the first thing that I believe God is teaching through Luke 21 is that how close is your money tied to your heart? And how much are you willing to give? Because the amount you give represents how much your heart is tied to God. Okay? Any questions? Now this is what Bible teach. This is what Jesus actually taught us through the illustration of this widow, that in her extreme poverty, she gave everything that she ever had. You know? The Bible never talked about her after that. But you know what? She was living by faith. Why do I say that? Widows in Israel are only supported by two things: charity and the welfare of the church, or welfare of the temple. Remember the poor man's tax? Remember the poor man, they had to leave the gleanings for the poor? You know, I don't believe the widow died. You see, the Lord Jesus is just teaching these rich people who are giving so much that, look, how much you give doesn't matter. God's math is different from our maths. And we need to recognize God's maths. God's maths is, no matter how much or how little you have, you're willing to put me first. In other words, in your mind and said, God, this week, well, fine. Thank God for that. You know, and we give, Lord. And God, this month I'm not doing too well. God, I'll still put you first. I'll still put you first. You know, that's a test of faith. It's easy to trust God in the good times. God wants us to learn to trust Him when things are not going too well. But still to give. I can tell you from first-hand experience, for the many years that we live as my family, God has provided every need. Really. Every need. Okay. So I want to encourage you. Any questions? Oh, the next one is trusting and giving. We need to learn to trust and give. Trust and give. Next one is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. 16 and verse 1. Okay, this talks about collection on the first day. Okay. Now concerning the collection for the saints that have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you labor in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Okay, this was given by Paul as an instruction to the Corinthian church. Okay, in this passage, we see that the believers in the first church took up collections when they assembled on the first day of the week, which is why, that's the reason why for children as you're growing up, that's why we collect offerings, because the Bible said so. And there are purposes for collecting offerings is to support the church and different things. Okay, after I talk about the three uses of money quickly. Okay, this particular offering was a special offering that Paul was collecting for the children, for the Christians in Jerusalem, because of there was a famine. All right, and in this case, Paul taught them to give as God has prospered you. As God has prospered you. And God prospers us every month. Amen. Through Jairo. And God says, give according as God has prospered you, okay? So every month we should be giving. That's what the Bible says here. That's the same principle as a tithe. Those who earn more should give more, okay? This is the Bible principle. If God prosper you more, you know, if there are some situations whereby people, when they're very poor, they say, God, I'm going to tithe, I'm going to give to you, and they earn $1,000, and then they give maybe $200. But later on, when God gives them like $50,000 and just still give $200, that cannot be. Does that make sense? It just shows that they have never grown in their Christian life. Okay, the more God gives us, the more we need to give. All right? We need to be preparing to give on the Lord's Day. Okay? And usually my practice is actually put the thing inside here or here. Sorry, during the offering time, I don't have to kind of like... Have you been in churches where you pray, when you're doing giving offering prayer, you hear Velcro... because the people are scrambling for their wallets. Prepare. Okay? Put the money inside somewhere. So it reflects a heart that's prepared to give to the Lord. Okay? The next one in 2 Corinthians, this is a very important passage. Please stop me, alright, if you have any questions that come to your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you want to study on giving, study these passages. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What does that mean? It's just like a farmer. If you only plant 5 seeds, you only expect 5 apple trees. Okay, let's say. But if you're willing to, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to plant a lot, then you can expect to get much more. God is saying, this is the law of sowing and reaping in the Bible. Okay, I've taught it before when I was in Telopo, but maybe I should teach it again. The law of sowing and reaping in the Bible teaches us, sometimes when you sow one, you can get a lot more. Okay? But the principle is the more you sow, the more you get. The more you give, the more you receive. Verse 7, though every man according as his purposes in his heart. See, God says that as you purpose in your heart, God's not going to force you to give. Okay? But, so let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The word cheerful means, literally in the Greek, means a hilarious. You want to give until you laugh. Okay, God is not encouraging a comedian attitude. Ah, ha, 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 I give. No, he's saying, I'm so thankful that I can give, man. It's even a joke, the amount I can give. You know what? The more you give, God will bless you as you give. All right? This is a promise. God, I'm not talking only financially. Please don't misunderstand. There's a health and wealth, the prosperity gospel right now being preached by New Creation and City Harvest and all this. The more you give, God's going to give you back. That is not the teaching of the Bible. Why? It's very obvious. You see that the apostles and all the Christians gave a lot, but they suffered tremendously. Okay? So don't be misled. But if I give $10, God will give me $100. But the principle is this, that God wants to see our heart in giving. Okay? The next one, we need to give willingly and cheerfully. Alright, some of the uses of money. Okay, this is important for all of us to understand. There are 3 uses of money in the Bible. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:8. Remember just now I mentioned it's God asking us to give everything? No. God gave us principles for money. Number one, money is to use for care of the family. In that verse it says, if a Christian don't care for their family to provide for them, he's worse than a non-believer. The second reason for money. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 14. I'll just read verse 13 and 14, okay? Just those 2 verses. But please study the rest because it gives us the background and the understanding. All right? But in verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, do we not know that they which minister about holy things live off the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? What is Paul saying? In the Old Testament, every priest and Levite is supported by the people that comes in. Because what the priest and Levite does is that they minister to God and also to the people by doing the things of God. Okay? And what God did was instructed the people to support the priests. That's the Old Testament parallel. And so in verse 14, Paul says, even so had the Lord ordained, appointed, that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. What does that mean? Preach the gospel should live off the gospel. In other words, God actually have a principle of giving in the local church. And the principle is quite simple. It's actually taking care of the ministry. See, in the temple, they need a lot of things to keep the service of God going. So God gave the instruction for children of Israel, give the tenth, give the 20% so that you can take care of the Levites, the priests, and all the things of needs of the temple. In the New Testament, it's the same thing. God parallels that to the church. We need to bring the offerings to God, the tithes to God in the local church as to keep the church running. Because it is a testimony to God. Okay? Does that make sense? I believe this. If everyone will tithe and give faithfully, the church will never be in financial need. Never. If we tithe faithfully in our tithes and offerings, the church will never be in financial need. Because God will provide through the people. Okay? Last one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, work, so that why? He can give to those that need. So the third reason for money is to take care of the poor. Is to take care of the poor. Alright? And so the first thing, so the uses of money that we have in our pockets actually just have three purposes. One, take care of family. But Brother Johnny, I'm not married, so I don't have family. Well, you can help to buy bread. Or let's say, Mom, do you need anything? Or I can get for you just out of your own. Okay, that's for those who are not married. But for those who are married, remember the money that comes into your bank every month actually belongs to God. And God has given principles for us to use. Number one, take care of your family. Okay, that's what every parent will do. Okay, but you know, number two obligation God gives us the money. God gave us money to take care of the church of God. Because the non-believers are not going to take care of the church of God. Some non-believers actually, because they've received some benefit from the church, they may give back some. For example, in FBI, there was one guy who actually, we were going to plan to change the AV and all that, and the set will cost probably about 2,000 plus. And this non-believing guy says, hey, if you need anything, just ask me. You know, I got $3,000 worth of credit. Because he already set up a system in his own company and all that, and the company gave them credit. Say, we're not using it, so if you want it, we can give it to you. Okay? Say, sounds like a good deal, right? The Lord teaches us never to take things of the non-believers. If the non-believers give without us knowing, there's nothing we can do. But we do not actively seek non-believers to support the church of God. Okay? God expects Christians to support the work of God. All right? So that's the second responsibility. Number three, if we see anyone in need, we need to reach out and give. Okay? Okay? The last thing I want to talk about in tithing, then of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Tithing must be done by faith. Tithing must be done by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 6. I've gone through this before at the beginning of our year when we talk about the plan and budget, but let me just go through it again. I think it's important. Moreover, brethren, we do you to know the width of the grace of God. The word width means to know. Okay, every time you see the word width means to know. We do you to know, we want you to understand of the grace of God that was given, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, say, I want you to understand what these churches went through. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the liberality. What does that mean? It means that these people at the church of Macedonia were facing affliction. They were being challenged. They were extremely, extremely poor. Okay? But Paul says, I want you to understand the grace that was given to them, you know. Even though they had this great trial and affliction, their joy was so great in God. And together with their poverty, they are saying, look, we're not going to look at our poverty. We're going to look at God abounded to their riches of their liberality. In other words, the spiritual principle of generosity was so evident. Verse 3. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. In other words, look, Church of Corinth, this church, they suffer so much, they don't have much, but their grace is so great on God that was giving to them. In other words, they give, Paul, they may have only 50 cents to give up, say, no, we want to give $5. We want to extend, we want to stretch ourselves because God's grace was upon them. The only way we can give is actually by God's grace. And you need to be willing to trust God's grace, all right? And then, in verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon ourselves the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. That means, actually, Paul is like that. Having studied, his Paul is like that. Paul will look at your situation, hey, you take care of yourself first. You don't even have enough. You know, don't worry about me. You take care of yourself. You know, the people say, Paul, don't like that. God is working in our hearts. We want to give so that God, that we can get the, we can serve together with you. We can't go, but we can give. And you know, Paul was so encouraged by that in verse 5. This we hope. This they did. Not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The way we are ever going to give tithe, for example, if you earn $2,000, 10% is $200. Okay? If you earn $5,000, it's $500. For some of us, we need faith to give that amount. If you earn $10,000, it's $1,000. That's just a tithe. That's a general principle God gives. Okay? You know, it takes faith to actually give that in the New Testament, not the Old. Okay? Every giving we give in the New Testament, God's principles is this: as much as God has prospered you according to the grace of God. Okay? And the first thing, like the widow is willing to give everything. And the Lord Jesus, don't measure in terms of the amount you give, measure in terms of the heart you give. Does that make sense? Any questions? I know this will go difficult into some people, but I've learned from young when I was, that's why it's important to teach our children when they're young. When I was in university, my only income is my support that I give from the scholarship. You know, I've learned to just give the same amount every single week, whether I have or not. And sometimes I don't have, but I just give. I can tell you a lot of blessings where people, when they don't have, they still give. Immediately, what happens was God actually blessed them immediately. I can say there was one situation, one sister said, I only have $10 for lunch. And she was very convicted to give, so she gave, you know. Say after she got no money for lunch right after church. You know what happened? So-and-so came and said, hey, sister so-and-so, I forgot that I owe you this amount of money. Then she got her lunch money back. You know how many times for myself personally, it's not easy to give. But you know, giving is actually a demonstration of our spiritual maturity and also how we govern our lives and the things that we actually do with our money. But God, what God wants us to do, I believe, is actually to push us back to His principle so that He can bless us. Okay? So, memorize the verses on giving and practice the giving by faith. Any questions? Any questions? My challenge very much is, I know for some of you, you may be stretching it. But there is no one who has trusted God and stretched himself. This is an important part. Okay? Remember, as pastor, I will never check on your giving. Because it's between you and God. It's between you and God. But what I'm saying is when you, as you learn to give, it's interesting that you probably make more effective use of your remaining 90% than when you had 100%. Yes, I know the bank can be a security, but in the last days like this, banks can sometimes not be a security. Things can change very fast. It's better to put our security in God. Remember, your bank account is not your security. God is. I'll give you one more verse, okay? All right, let's turn to Deuteronomy, verse 17 and 18. And this is a very important passage, and then we'll finish, okay? Now, every passage of the Bible is important. Okay, let's read together in verse 17 and 18. Okay, ready? One, two, go. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Verse 18 says, you remember You know, in verse 17, it says, when you say in your heart, hey, actually, I'm the one who worked hard for my money. God instructed the children of Israel to remember whatever increase you have is what God gave you the health to do it. Because God can take away your health like that. You know, that's not to frighten us. Okay, please understand this. God's not in the business of frightening people, but God's in the business of teaching us what it means to have a reverence of God and put Him first. So as we give to Him first, we are actually putting God first. I can tell you, if you put God first, God will honor you. Okay, God will bless you. Okay? Okay, if you have any questions, we can talk after this. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. As we talk about this important topic, I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill us with understanding and also with your grace, Lord, as to how we should give. And I believe, Lord, our giving is entirely of grace and how much you have touched our hearts and be willing to give. And I pray, Father, I know sometimes it's going to be hard to part with it, part with our money. But Lord, help us to recognize that money belongs to you. And whatever, Lord, you ask us, it's never too hard because you will always provide our needs. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.